نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الوالي الكريم، وصلى الله على الأنبياء أجمعين، والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين. أما بعد، Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it? And that He is alone and has no part? And that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universes. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend. And send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles, and on the Messiah, the anointed one, and on the Mahdi, the guide, and on the Mujaddid, the reformer, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
This series of tapes, Inflammation versus Misformation, were recorded from classes given this year by Dr. Malachi DeYork, known to us as the Supreme Grandmaster Naya Malachi Zodak El, our own Pharaoh, Amenubi Ru'akatar. And now, listen with an open mind and heart as our Grandmaster inflames you with only the truth. Allow your inner light to flow again and stomp out misformation with only the facts. And now, listen to the Supreme Grandmaster Naya Malachi Zodak El.
Moses and Pharaoh, and you were saying that everything that Pharaoh did, I mean that Moses did, the Pharaoh had somebody to do it too. So you're talking about the staff and the serpent. You said that's not what it really represented, so I want to know if you tell us what it really was they were dealing with.
Well, the serpent in ancient Egypt was a symbol of power and authority. Moshe, as they call him, Moses, couldn't even leave Egypt without marching forth with a staff with a serpent on top of it. It later became a symbol of evil. A snake was not a symbol of evil in our culture. This was put together by those who grafted the Bible and turned the word Nahash into serpent, when the word Nahash simply means whisperer. Just like the Muslims grafted the word Hanas from the word Nahash. And it would have been too broad to say anybody that whispers is a devil. You follow? Especially in the lodge, where people whisper in each other's ear the secret word. That whispering transaction of the master mason to the fellow craft would be interpreted by some critics in the Christian belief, as if they understood the Bible, as a form of serpent activity, because the serpent is supposed to have a hiss. Yeah, so what happened is they had to change it from whisperer to snake. By that, and of course they supported with "on his belly shall he go." That for the rest of his days, but they keep forgetting that that's an admission that he was on his feet first. And they don't have on their records, in their history, of the period of time when snakes were walking. Though they go back to Babylon, Shinar, and they see on the wall a picture of a serpent with legs. But that period is called prehistory. So he only deals with history, those things that happen on this side of things. You hunger? So it was considered a symbol of power and authority in ancient Egypt, right? Yeah, in the back. Should be hard to hear you, but I'm going to try.
All of our But with the,
No, what I'm basically trying to say is everything that has been taught to us, about us, is negative. We can't just throw it away. We got to turn it to our favor. In other words, the currents that are coming at us from six keys of being is negative energy. We shouldn't let it bounce off us into the universe. We should absorb it within inside of us, or as I simply say, right to wrong. Absorb it. The same thing applies to aura, right? The human aura right now, because of the magnetic imbalancing of the planet Earth, most people are walking around with negative currents. They've been encouraged to think negative, because they've been encouraged to think survival. They've been encouraged to think me, myself, and I. And that has bred this individualism to break you away from being a part of all. And that's negative. We've now, instead of sending that out into the universe, we've got to, as God, absorb it. We got to absorb the hate, not just close the door on the hate. You know what I'm saying? We got to absorb all the negative energy, because we got the power to do that. We can take an angry person and turn them nice. You know what I'm saying? We can take negative energy and absorb it within us and in ourselves, and it still won't destroy us as long as we're standing here with God and not a mere mortal working on emotion. Got me? Yes, sir. I'm having a problem.
Every couple of days,
right.
The
Netero. The Netero, which is the ancient word for nature. You, Aeneas, the woman, is at work, taking vengeance on her people. Like the Bible prophecies, and the Christians and the Jews have always said, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And if you think of how God, Yahweh, Elohim, Theos, Allah, how would he take vengeance? I'm saying he because that's the term they use. There's no he or she involved in nature. If Allah, but how would he or she take vengeance on mortals? Can anybody tell me? What would be the tools that the Most High would use to affect mortals? Say again? All you gotta do is open your book in the Christian Bible to Matthew 24. And they tell you about pestilence and plague and disease. They tell you about earthquakes. The Quran speaks about Zilzal, the shaking of the earth, the Ariat, the rise and fall of the horsemen. All through history, they keep saying that when the Most High power decides to take vengeance on mortals, they tell you it's going to be through nature. And now that we're living in the day of that great and dreadful day of the Lord, everybody is asking the same question. What's going on? Well, what do you expect God to do? You expect God to do what Christians, after Jesus had already left, started teaching. See, what they were doing, they were creating the expectation philosophy. The expectation philosophy breeds people not getting up and making things happen right now. Islam teaches it, Judaism teaches it, and Christianity teaches it. Expectation philosophy is, I am expecting my Lord and Jesus Christ to come one day and solve all the problems. So meanwhile, you can kick me in the butt. I'll just turn the other cheek. Muslims are saying, he's adding up for the law he was left. One day this help from Allah is going to come, and that's going to be our victory. You see this? Expectation philosophy. Unrealistic. And now that the power of nature, of which all of them agree, has something to do with the creation of human beings, insofar as they'll say in Islam, well, man was created from mud. Correct? Or dust. That's earth. There's no place on the planet Earth where you can walk over and grab a handful of dirt, put it under a microscope, and not already find living bacteria. There's no place where you can find dust and put it under a microscope and not find living bacteria. So according to the Muslim world and the Christian world, when God created man from the dust of the ground or from the mud of the earth, God wasn't creating the life. God was creating the body. The life was already there in the dust and the mud. Because again, I say, there's no place on the planet
where you can grab a handful of dirt and put it up under a mic, and you won't find some type of living bacteria, even 6,000 years ago.
Right.
Or better yet, 4,004, which is the Christian calendar calculation. If I'm saying life was already there, who put that there? Who created that form of life? What they're saying is shaped and formed, fashioned and shaped, man or mortal, of the dust or mud of the ground. But the life was already in it. That is working with nature. That nature had already provided life in the mud. Life is in the water. There's no water anywhere where you can put a tube of water, take it and put it under a microscope. What will you see? You'll see life again. So if God took the dirt and the water, life and life, water, female, earth, man, that's why earth in the Bible is called Adama, male. Male and female created he, them. Woman is the water, man is the earth. They got it backwards. Put them together and form mud. Two forms of life came together there. Or two forms of matter that contain life were brought together for a greater purpose. You follow that? That was nature at work. They can say or imply that a God reached down and did it with his own hands, they feel like it. But then we'll get into if he had hands. Well, no, he didn't have hands. He just willed it into happening. He thought it, and the mud came together and started to shape it. So he had a preconception of what it would be shaped like. He has a mind. See, God don't have to do that. See, God could just imagine things like kun by a kun, think, and into existence they come. So he thinks them. So if he has to stop to think, there's a point when he's not thinking. If he had to think of the time, the idea of creating a human being, he had to say, I'm going to let us make a man. So what was he thinking the day before that? What was he thinking before he thought of creating man on behalf of mortals, I mean? Was he just there by himself? If nobody else is there with you, what would you be thinking about? If none of the things you understand or understand have been created yet, what would you reflect on? Could you have an active subconscious mind? You understand? Could you have an active subconscious mind? A subconscious mind is when you store information. Could you have an active subconscious mind to store information before information was formed? With me? What was this God doing? What was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doing before he said, let us khalaqna al-insana min whatever? Because the Quran changes what means mud, means clay, then it's mesh, then it's water, then it's from a single male and female, then it's from a chronicle and gentleman, whatever prophet or poet wrote it. What was he thinking? Or what was he discussing with his wife the night before? Oh, I forgot. He doesn't have a wife. And he doesn't have any children. So he was sitting somewhere with these hands. It had nothing to do with the hand. So he said to himself, let up. Holding up his hand and created his own trinity. Let up, me, you, and me. Make a man. In our image, and after our likeness. And he went and shaped the mud and then said, and he blew into man the breath of life, and man jumped up a living soul. How long are we going to be believing this crap? When are you going to give this back to him and laugh and say, nice, good comedy? Just like you go back to the video store and you turn back in videos, it's time to turn back in the video called His Story.
Yeah.
Say, it was a nice story. I rented this video room. I took it home. We watched it. It impressed me. I had moments in it where I believed it. It ended. The title came up here. Because as the sister's asking me, what about all these tornadoes and things? Because their book of Revelation didn't tell them about that. Therefore, the Revelation tells them, wait for the craft to come. What about the people that are getting whipped up by nature right now before Jesus gets back? They go to church Sunday faithfully. But tornadoes don't pick Friday nights to come or Monday morning. Tornadoes come. And they didn't prepare us for that. That's why you're asking. And it's happening all over the world. They're flooding in London. They're flooding in Germany. They're flooding the tornadoes. The volcano that's been dormant for thousands of years just erupted. They didn't prepare us for that. But have you noticed that it has not really affected us?
Right.
That we are where we're supposed to be. It wouldn't be bothering us. If we are in the wrong environment, at the wrong time, with the wrong people, I don't care whether it's a bus, truck, or plane. I was talking to a lady yesterday in the store, and I said, I don't know about all this flying, because, you know, 9 planes came down last week alone. She said, planes that fell on somebody who was on the ground. I said, that's true. And then a point, she was like, you don't have to be in a plane to die. What about the people that was on the ground when the plane came down? I said, that's the reality of it. That's true. That's true. So nature is doing this. You know why? Because it's our time. We should not be worried. Rain, most of y'all would have kept sitting here. And it wouldn't have started smelling like dogs either. Let me give them a drip. It's our time. We work with nature. You with me? The Bible, the Quran, and all of those silly little books, that video we rented from them some 2,000 years ago, we got to rent the song and said, yo, can I get that video on a white daughter came to earth to save everybody? We took that video home, called a video called Our Lord Jesus Christ. We popped it into the video recorder of our heart. And we sat there and we absorbed that crap, and we've been waiting ever since. If you're a Christian, you're saying, you shouldn't be talking about us like that. I ain't talking about you. I'm talking about fools. If you was a fool, you wouldn't be sitting there. You came out here to find out, what about that video, Jesus Christ? A whole bunch of Muslims popped in a video called Muhammad the Arabian Prophet is the answer to all the Negro problems. And they slide that video in their heart. A whole bunch of Hebrew Israelites and Israelite churches took another one and said, we are the children of Israel, and Yahweh is the answer to all the Negro problems. And they split that video inside their chest. But the video ends. But time don't. Christianity is going out. Islam is failing. You with me? Judaism is gone. But time hasn't. And we have withstood all the crap. And now we're saying, okay, tell us the truth. Movie's over. Tonight's movie has a little drama, has some lust in it. Read the Bible. It's got sex, it's got what? Violence, it's got all the things a good movie has. Any Steven Spielberg does. But it's over. It doesn't apply to us no more. And now Mother Nature is showing everybody on the planet who's the boss.
Yeah.
The baddest military in the world. They couldn't do nothing about them tornadoes. They went through military bases flipping planes. Whether it's in China, they think they're sophisticated, or Russia who thought they were sophisticated, or America who thought they had sophisticated military capabilities. Mother Nature goes through Air Force with tornadoes and flips over planes. Topples boats for massive ships. People are walking around the street now thinking they did not have to answer to any force other than themselves. When they got fed up with the God principle, they went into the self principle. But a force steps in and says, you may have given that video back on Jesus Christ, that video back on the Muhammad crap, but you still got to deal with the breath of life. You follow that? And what do? They remind you that you ain't as bad as you think you are. Because you're worried. You're worried your house might be next. And all the crosses and the crescents and all the Korans and the Bibles in them houses, churches be getting snatched up by nature. Nature don't come down the block and look at the Baptist or the Pentecostal church and say, well, I'm just going to leave that one alone. They should come down the street, knock up churches, bars, discos, health bars, hospitals. Nature doesn't respect crap. Nature only respects nature when it responds. And we're in the same time where they're trying to suppress the reality that nature is at work. And there is no more room for the crap, the tribute, or the silly religion of expectation. You know how long you've been waiting for Jesus? Everybody here has a relative, more than likely, that belongs to one of the mono god of ignorance and arrogance, if you look it up. One of the monotheos, the Greek pluralization for God, theory. One of the monotheistic religions. Your grandmother or great-grandmother believed that Jesus is going to come save her. I remember hearing Herbert W. Armstrong on television, the plain truth, say, I know I'm going to live to see Christ return. He's dead. You didn't see this kind of Christ come. The kind of Christ Christianity is looking for. This is the expectation religion. You understand what I'm saying? I want you all to get that in your head so you can kick it back out there. You got us sitting around in the world of illusion. Muslims in mosques making salah, a dhikr to Allah. Every now and then somebody says, check me, Allah. Cut it off. Still, they go to Mecca and die. Still, they plan a plan. They plan a plan, and Jesus plans a plan, and Jesus is the best of plans, insofar as the plans that the Arabs had in New York last week to blow up some buildings was abruptly right blocked by Christians. Christian FBI ran in and shot two Muslims up and stopped them from doing their bombing in the name of Ismailahi. Is that right? Was that in the media? All them niggas laying up in the hospital with bullet holes in them? Yeah. Did the bombing stop? So instead of saying, they plan a plan, and Allah plans a plan, and Allah is the best of planners, you've got to change that around now. You got to say, we plan a plan, and the FBI planned a plan, and the FBI was the best of planners. The FBI is more powerful than Allah. Because the Muslims did not succeed. That they were moving in the name of an all-powerful, unstoppable God. Could anybody have stopped that?
No.
No. Would the old Sheikh be in jail during life if he was following his God? His God was a good God and a powerful, all-knowing God. Would his butt be in jail during life in America in a Christian jail?
No.
Would his father be in jail? Hello? You know, now, hello, wake up, Muslim. Your God is dead. Your God does not respond to you. You get no help. There's no Nasrullah anymore. Now, if you pick up the Holy Quran and you start to read it, you may hear Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to make you feel good, that he got help from Allah. When did it suck? You know what I'm saying? If you read the Islamic studies seal, histories of Islam, and trace it all out, you go back 1400 years ago, and the Prophet Muhammad, according to their writings, got help from Allah against his enemy. Right? When did it stop? Why is Lebanon a parking lot now? Lebanon was an Islamic country with some Christians in it. They fought the Christians, they lost. Lebanon's a parking lot. When was the help? Masa Nasrullahi. And Muhammad's answer was, in the Nasrullahi Qareeban. Surely the help of Allah is near. Well, it wasn't nowhere near Iraq when Saddam Hussein, who is a Muslim, was fighting against the Christian world, the U.S. of A. Where was Allah? And when Kuwait was getting ready to get attacked by Saddam, the Muslims in Kuwait did not run into the mosque and fall, Allah, 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 And them niggas went, Allah, will you call America, please? And Quake called in the American forces to go in, you with me, to stop the Muslims from Iraq from attacking Kuwait. They didn't call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You with me? I'm going somewhere. The Saudi Arabians, they didn't call on Allah. Who they called on? America. American troops is over there teaching them how to fight. I thought the Quran said when a Muslim is in distress in battle, Allah sends help from heaven. Angels are supposed to come down to help you. Unless you try to tell me it's American forces over there are angels. I don't understand why you Muslims are depending on American forces when you support eating ones, by the way, let me add. Alcohol drinking one. Because Saudi Arabia has to put aside a certain neighborhood in Saudi Arabia just for the alcohol drinking, pork eating, naked dressing Americans over there. Where is the help? Hello. You mean you're saying, when did it stop? I'll tell you when it stopped. It stopped right after Ba'ath Rasulullah, right after the Prophet Muhammad. When they suppressed the family of Ali, when they suppressed his daughter Fatima, when they toppled pure Islam, and they introduced this crap that they're shoving down your throat today called Sunni and Shia and Ahmadiyya and all this other crap. When Islam in its pristine purity was destroyed, before it was a religion, when it was still a way of life, when it was sent as a salvation to a backward people in Arabia. You understand? When Muhammad was raised up amongst them to save them, speaking their tongues, receiving a book in their language for them to pull them on up into the future. That's when it was pure. But it stopped the moment the desert Arabs got involved. And when you look on television and you see Warab D. Muhammad, I know you love him. I love him too. He's my brother, but he's confused. He got hit in the head with a rock call. I ain't got no sense. He's always, and almost all of you Muslims out here, are always surrounding yourself with desert Africa. I don't never see Warab D. Muhammad. I don't never see Minister Louis Farrakhan around no Nigerian Muslims. Or no Muslims from Somali. Or no Muslims from Sudan. Or no Muslims from Ghana, or no Muslims from Senegal, or no Muslims from France. They're always around Pakistanians, Saudi Arabians, a whole bunch of what the Quran told them to watch out for. El Arab, desert Arabs, they call them the most deceptive. And when we as ancestors refuse to sit down at the table with them and do what Farrakhan just did. You understand? I refuse to let them come to me and put a turban on me about my way of life. Say, get out of my face, jump. I had Islam before you knew what Islam was. Before Muhammad was born, we had Islam. You know what I'm saying? Now you're going to come and try to ask me, well, I want to join the Islamic Council with a bunch of confused Al-Arab. A bunch of hadith following fools. And I as an answer, I said, hell no. You got to go. And Muslims, black skin, woolly head, picky head, buckwheat ass niggas with tabis on, got mad at me. Because I don't want to kiss no Arab butt. Then I must not, he must not be a Muslim. He ain't one of old answer, he's a co-star. They all in my private life. But I don't want to fall in the trains. I said, I'm hanging out with Sudan. And I picked Sudan over Nigeria because I've been overlaid this crowd in Sudan. And everybody here with nappy hair, the wavy hair, the light skin, the dark skin, the long nose, the wide nose, the brown, the black, the baby color skin would fit in Sudan without any racial problems. Unfortunately, if you went to Nigeria, some of y'all, they'd be saying, you look Nigerian. Others, they'll be saying, what are you? But almost most of y'all got mistaken as a Sudanese, as an answer. People say, are you Sudanese? Tells you where you had roots. Now, I didn't say roots, I said roots. So, when did they lose the power? They lost the power when they suppressed us. when they caused Fatima her life, when they sought out and killed Hassan and Hussein, the sons of Ali and Fatima, and killed the Prophet's family. That's when they lost it. And the fools that are in Islam now are demons. When did Christianity lose its power? When Paul went and followed Jesus' disciples. You hear me? When he fabricated his own doctrine. When Paul was a self-acclaimed disciple while walking on a roadside by himself, said, I had a vision. And Jesus said, Saul, Saul. But he proceeded to call himself Paul. You tell me that God, the Son of God, talk to me, the Son of God in flesh, calls you Saul, but you call yourself Paul? If God called me Banana Head, my new name would become Banana Head, and I'd be proud of it.
That's right, sons of Noah. According to the Bible, there was a great flood
and the whole world, except for Noah and his family, was destroyed, drowned. Is that correct? Everybody on the planet Earth was drowned in Noah's time. This is what your religion teaches you. Now, Noah, as they say, became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Three sons. Right? After the flood, there should be nobody on the planet now but Ham and his family. I want you to get that in your head now. Everything else is dead. Drowned. No more, there's no civilization, nothing. Okay? This man, Noah's son, Ham, with the Egyptologists, Ham, with the Egyptologists, the thing they know what they talk about in America, they call it chemistry. With me? They're just one of the sons of Noah. And I let them make it this I am, who become known in their bodies. Egypt, Mithraim in the Bible, in the Christian Bible, you'll get any strong concordance type of Egypt and you'll see the word Mithraim. And Mithraim is one of the sons of Noah. And nobody's on the planet before this. You with me? Then we go to Genesis chapter 10 and walk Genesis chapter 10, chapter 11, and chapter 12, and you're going to find out that there were seven generations of people between Mithraim and Abednego, Terah was the patriarch of their religion, they say. Abraham didn't know nothing about religion, he was wrong. His name was Abraham. Terah was the father of Abraham. Are you with me? Only seven people lived between Mithraim, who was a part of the family that landed on the ark on Mount Ararat over in Turkey. No plane, no train, no car. Foot, camels and donkeys is the way they traveled back then. I lived there. You just believe it. They had to travel from Turkey all the way to a place that did not exist if the flood really took place and everybody who was on the planet was dead, right? So they went over to a place that didn't exist and avoided this ride with this religion from hell, settled over there and it became known as Egypt. What they say in the Bible is Mithraim, or Muslims say Muslim. You with me? Seven people. Look at yourself. Your mother. Your grandmother. Your great-grandmother. Your great-great-grandmother and your great-great-great-grandmother, seven people back. Go back from Terah to Mithraim, which usually comes out to be six people. Now, Abraham, the son of Terah, travels eastward on a journey, the Bible says, and goes into the land of Egypt. And on his way in there, he encountered a pharaoh with great power. Yeah. A great power, a pharaoh, was living in Egypt when Abraham got there, who wanted to take Abraham's wife. And Abraham gave him up because he was a punk. Because he was a chump. That's the only reason why he gave his wife up, because he's a punk. You understand? I can leave it. Be real. But let's get back to that. So seven people from Mithraim, and Mithraim was the first there after flood, and he set up the whole empire of all of Egypt and his 36 dynasties, built all the pyramids and the sphinx, all the offices, all the pylons and bowels and fell, and all the different codes, designs, the concepts that they could not find in Israel, they could not find in Noah's time. The whole thing of Egypt, chemistry, alchemy, he did all that in seven generations before Abraham got there. And by the time Abraham got there, they had this massive big empire that was so powerful that a Hebrew prophet had to humble himself before those people. You get where I'm going? There ain't no way in the hell they could have built the great Egypt with seven families. or there is no or there is no Egypt. Now I know there's an Egypt because I can go to Egypt and see Egypt. I can't go to Abraham and see Abraham. I can't go there. But I can go see Egypt, and on the walls of Egypt I'll see you. You with me? In your Bible, your God acknowledges the greatness of Egypt. Because your God sends the greatest of you to Egypt for protection. He sent Jesus there. And said, Jesus, go down there in Egypt and stay there until Herod is dead. He sent the best of the human beings according to you. Amongst us, pagans, forsaken. Abraham went down there because the land that was supposed to be flowing with milk and honey that his God told him would be an everlasting covenant in that land. The everlasting must have went void, and God must have lost control of the elements because a famine came into a land that was supposed to be an everlasting covenant and a land flowing with milk and honey called the land of Canaan. And it got cut off. Read your Bible. And then their God tells them, go down to the pagans in Egypt, Abraham, because they have. You with me? Moses, the father, the literate, or the scholar, or the recorder of the record of the law, called the Torah, was born and reared in Egypt, educated until he was 40 years old in Egypt. Their God, who controls all things, put the man who was to write their scripture, not in a Hebrew environment, but in an Egyptian environment, so he can come out of the Egyptian book of the dead and write his Torah to guide his people. Why? Because if it's true that Mizraim was the son of Noah, then Mizraim was also an original Hebrew according to your doctrine, which is wrong, but there was no such thing as Hebrew yet. So when Abraham went to Egypt, he was not going to see a new people. He was going amongst his uncle's people. There was no new religion. The people of Noah forgot the religion. Obviously, Mizraim picked up and migrated and took all of the customs of Israel before it was called Israel, of the Hebrews before it was called Hebrews, and set up the land of Mizraim. And the people who lived in Babylon under the Babylonians called themselves Israelites, lost the law and lost the Ark of the Covenant and lost their dress code. When you see a Muslim woman with a headpiece on, and you look at the Egyptian statues of a Nemuz, we call it, it's the same headpiece. You hear me? Somebody did something. When you jump down, way down to Christianity, and you speak about the resurrection of Christ, raising him from the dead, bringing him back to life, you go to Egypt, and you'll find what? The breaking of the mouth ceremony, performed on all of the pharaohs that were gods after they were dead. When the Orion star made a 70-day travel around, when it rose again on the horizon, the sun resurrected the horoscope. The Greek word horius for sun in the Bible. When that sun rose, then the pharaoh was taken and put in his turban and lifted, and his mouth was open so that the light from that star could reanimate his body, and he was considered being transported from death back to life. This is in Egyptian writing, predating Christianity. So what it is, he's a human god that walks the earth. He died. They have a massive ceremony that put him inside a sarcophagus, which is a pyramid or a tomb, and then they resurrect him back to life for eternity. That's what they promise you in Christianity. You understand? That was copied out of our book. The whole concept of the resurrection or the coming of God, the horror of the sun,
sunrises and sunset. You use the word net for sunset, and it just happens to be the deity of night in Egypt, the brother of Osiris or Uthir. It just happens to be sunset. You borrowed it from ancient Egypt.
When that sun, when that sun comes over the horizon, you see the light of the sun travel across the water.
With that, if you were there in the morning and you could watch the sun come up over the water, you see the light of the sun move right across the water. Right? The sun of God walks the water. You copy that from us. Joseph. Flavor, diesel, some say platinum. He wrote a play based on our story and wrote it into his story. You with me? His story is based on life. Our story is based on darkness. But it made you think that the devil was darkness and that God was in light, when in actuality, if God said let there be light, then God had to have been in darkness to cut the light on. So darkness had to be there first. I'm not talking about racist people, don't talk back yourself, what's that? I'm talking about darkness. I'm talking about the kids that got hurt. I'm talking about how, when you go to your house tonight, you with me? And you get ready to go to sleep, and the television is playing, or the record player is playing, and someone's in the back eating and laughing and joking, and you go in the room, you say, could y'all do me a favor, man? Could y'all quiet down a little bit, because I'm about to go to... And then I go in my room, and my room is full of my stuff, surrounding me, colorful things, memorable things. I must do what? I must cut off the light to bring that place to a peaceful, blissful, tranquil environment. I must get back into the darkness before I can go to sleep. And maybe I can't sleep with the light on. You have to turn it off. Well, the devil, Beelzebub, as some call him, who had Shaitan, Hakatan, Satan, they, Diablo, they got all kind of names. Well, Diabolus, Apollos, whatever all the names they can figure up to call somebody who doesn't cooperate with them, has been ruling the day in chaos. And now the night is coming for a new sun night. You follow that? And everybody knows. Everybody can feel that something is happening in the world. All over the world. Somebody up there said, keep the planes out my sky. If I wanted y'all to fly, I would give y'all wings. Now he's so compassionate and concerned, he doesn't kill everybody that goes up. But there's not a place on the planet where a plane has gone up where somebody didn't crash. But we're so dumb, we bungee jump even after the cord falls. So people are still flying. Boats are sinking. So now, because that's not affecting you, the powers of the ancestors, the ancient ones, are now moving inland and knocking on your door. And houses are floating away. Not houses in ghettos only. Mansions are rolling down the hill. Rich people who thought they had it together, they're watching their house float away. Watching and watching everything that they thought was important in this world, all the mundane, all the material things, float down the road under the power of nature. Because those people that rule are unjust. They are unfair. They don't play fair. And have put most people in a position where there's nothing you can do about you as an individual. You understand? You're caught or locked in a system.
where you click on a television and they program you with programs. You understand? You got some tape or some samples already stored inside the tape recorder before you put the disc in. So forces of nature have to step in on the part of those that want to do right. And they'll start making you feel good. All the new age people. What does a new age mean? It means they're fed up with the old damn age.
Right,
They're fed up with that crap. We're fed up with trusting our politicians. We're trusting our leaders and our preachers. We're fed up with that crap. All we want the hell to do is get along. Half of the white people didn't like what happened to Rodney King. And half of the black people like myself knew O.J. was guilty. But could we sit down, us that all have that kind of intelligence, and meet? No, because we don't control the media. Those who want to control our emotions control the media. And they wanted to make you think that all black people was for O.J. killing those people. You follow that? And make us think that all white people was for those handful of cops beating up Rodney King. And that's keeping things the way they want. That's business. That's the devil at work. You hear me? But how long? How long? Nature is stepping in and kicking ass. Nature is mopping this place up. Everybody knows they expect something. But they come out here and say to us, we hear that your leader teaches that y'all believe that a craft is going to come out of the sky and save y'all. Do y'all? I'm crazy for that. Oh, when the book of Revelation chapter 21 goes, and it says there's going to be a ship coming out of the sky, and Jesus is in the ship. This ship has doors in it, floors in it. It has doors with people's names like it's a theater. All disciples got their private room, in this crystal city, with their name on the door, right in the Bible. It says it's coming down out of heaven. A crack. Nobody's running up there. Billy Graham and say, Billy O. Graham. Old Billy Ram, or Reverend Price. Ain't that a name for a preacher, Reverend Price? Hell, no one would fight me. I know that Reverend Price has got something to do with money. But old Reverend Price, do you believe in the Bible? Yes or no? I don't want no philosophy. I don't want no tafsir, no interpretation. I want to know, do you believe in the Bible, the Word of God, from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation? Do you or don't you believe in the Bible? That's all I want to know. You got the Bible up, you beat me with the Bible, I go to jail, you make me put my hand on the Bible, I'm on my way out, I get the Bible when I'm dying, you got a guy reading the Bible, when my baby's born, you're trying to read the Bible, hell, I've been beat up with the Bible so damn much, all I want to know is, do y'all believe it? You've been pushing it down my throat so many years, I forgot to ask you. You understand? They got a church in a courtroom in Darby Trust, and the young boy, what's his name, who went crazy and blew up the FBI building. What's his name? Matt Bay. A young boy went crazy. You know the funniest thing that bothered me about that thing? For them to ask, is he crazy? After he killed 160 people, someone said, you think he's crazy? The fact that a bunch of psychiatrists, you know, Sigmund Freud, gathered in a room with degrees, you know what I'm saying? These guys had degrees, they went to school, they had great suits and stuff. You know, they had cachet cases and hush puppies on. These niggas gathered in a room and said, you think he's crazy? Hell, the man blew up a building and killed women, children, rats, roaches, fowls, babies, everything. You think he might be crazy? You with me? Then they go into the courtroom under the sign in God we trust, and human beings, people who say they believe in the Bible, were saying, burn him, burn him. Kill the boy, 27 years old, kill him, I want him dead. One woman had the audacity to admit her cluelessness. How dumb she was. On national television, everybody listened. You know what she said? She said, I did not believe in the death penalty until he killed my loved one. Listen to what that meant. I did not believe in a death penalty until he killed my little one. So everybody else's children and babies that were killed by serial killers in groups, it was okay. But the moment the angel of death knocks upon your door, you get a whole new policy on vigilantism. They turned the damn country into say the word for me. Thank you. And everybody said, kill the boy, kill the boy. Nobody said, cure the boy, cure the boy. Because if this boy went off because of what happened at Waco, you understand? Then some other boy is going to go off. And what they're going to do is they're going to study the mistake he made, do the same thing without the mistake, because hell, the boy was dumb. The boy was dumb. He's a nice kid, but he was dumb. He made a mistake. You don't blow up an FBI building and drive a car that breaks down on the highway unless you kind of dumb. You can't be that bright. You blow up the FBI building, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and your car breaks down on the highway. You made more money for the bombs than you did the car to get a break off. That's like these hip-hops with their shoes untied and their pants down running from the police. How dumb can you be?
But because of all of this, because he mistakes the world of sin, because there's nothing that no one, no one leader, no one church, no one person can stand up and do to stop it. Everybody said, God help us. Allah help us. Yahweh help us. Adonai help us. Somebody help us. And nature steps in to help. The problem is you looking for nature to be your God. You've been taught through your Bible or your Quran, and that's crap. Nature is stepping in. You know what you find in towns where white folks and black folks hated each other? They gotta help each other prepare for the flood coming in. They all passing the sandbags together. When the houses are floating, they're sharing apartments with each other. Shelter, sharing food. If I see a white baby floating down the street because I'm black, I wasn't going like this, I'd be the devil. I'd become the devil immediately. You follow?
Yes.
I'm supposed to help. And anybody who don't help another human being, that is the devil. I don't care what color you call them. You understand what I mean?
Inflammation versus misinflammation were recorded from classes given this year by Dr. Malachi Z. York, known to us as the Supreme Grandmaster Naya Malachi Zoduck L, our own Pharaoh, Amenubi Ruakatar. And now, listen with an open mind and heart as our Grandmaster inflames you with only the truth. Allow your inner light to flow again and stomp out misinflammation with only the facts. And now, listen to the Supreme Grandmaster Naya Malachi Zoduck L.
Can you redeem himself by sending his son Murdoch, showing that he can do things as said to be doing, or did Anu send you, or Master Chief?
Anu sends Inky, and Anu sends me. Inky couldn't send me anywhere. Because though I am spiritually related to Inky as his son, you know, I reject everything Inky stands for because he opposed Anu. And it was a strong decision because I was conceived through the Pillian wife of Inti as a disagreeable, a warrior, a defender, and I had to change, okay, my whole genetic structure recalibrated so that I could work on behalf of the new, but act as a defender of the innocent at the same time. So I had to be given the ability to kill when killing is not in the Anunnaki's nature. Thus, it was necessary to be born to eat, who was a reptilian, that I'd have a reptilian mentality as well as an Anunnaki mentality as far as agreeable, yeah, and disagreeable way. I have both of those attributes because this is what you have. You have both an agreeable nature and a disagreeable nature sitting in this room. And I don't mean there are some agreeable people and some disagreeable people. Everybody sitting in this room has agreeable in them and disagreeable. Everybody has a little devil in them. Everybody has a little God in them. In order for a being to come to you, to raise you up, they've got to have the kind of nature you have so that you can't trick them, because you're very good at it. Not this time. And yep, the brother from Washington came down a long way, and people from Washington, I assume, are in the house. Very good job, he's a good teacher.
Good teacher.
I know y'all love him. It makes me feel good to see young brothers coming up. Because nothing is sadder than seeing a purpose destroyed. Because maybe the leadership harbors and controls all the information for themselves in order to look heavy. And then when they pass on, there's no one to pick up that baton and keep running. It's good to see that these young men are coming up. And I'm hoping to see some young sisters get up there. Not necessarily. Young doesn't mean nothing to me, though. You know how I was, you know, young, I know the young age. We need stages of learning. I want to see some of these young sisters get up and also teach and carry this word out, because I know you know what time we're at. I know you can see the world, the conditions of the world. Needless to say, the clock is ticking louder than it ever ticked before. And time is running out. And I'm not going to preach doomsday. I'm not going to tell you that the end of the world is coming, the end of a kind of world is coming, the end of a kind of rulership is coming, and it's high time, and it's for it to go. So that the new world, and not new world order, but the new world can come into play, but the new where love rules, and not emotions. Alright? What else you want to talk to me about? Go ahead.
Me and some brother was building on the idea of why is it we have to get back to a state of WAPU, and we were looking at it as a neutral state, okay? And I was thinking on that.
You looked at it as a neutral state.
Yeah, we looked at it as a neutral state. Okay. State of WAPU as a neutral state. And
I don't know what that means. I'll go with you,
but I don't
know what it means.
Okay, but I was looking at that, and I was thinking, well, maybe while we're here dealing with this society, we have to focus more on our positive nature and suppress the disagreeable side of us, so that we could kind of like balance things out. Because I remember when you were saying that our planet has been surrounded by a almost disagreeable crystal-like energy thing. And I was thinking that if we were to focus more on the positive, on our positive nature, suppress the disagreeable, would balance things out and allow us to be able to cope with the things that are going on in this society now. But later on, once we establish our state of Hawaii, we would then be able to get back to that neutral state and then exercise both our agreeable and disagreeable using a downright reason. So is that what's going on? Is that why we have to focus more on our positive nature?
That probably was a little heavier than what I was saying. to me, sound right reasoning is already in each of us. What has happened is all of our reasoning
our sound judgment and, most important, right decision has been overlaid by theatrics. In other words, they took out reason and replaced it with belief. And in belief, if you try to reason out what you believe, they're usually called a blasphemer or a troublemaker. If you belong to a religious denomination, let's say Christianity, for instance, for starters, and you're a devout Christian, and someone attempts to assassinate the Pope, you say that's a very sad thing. That's a very sick thing to do. That's how you see it. And that is a way to see it. But in Nuwapo, the next way to see it is, why is the Pope ducking? You follow? Why would the Pope attempt not to die if the greatest of all glories is to be back in the bosom of God? And if you are the Pope, you're about as close to the bosom of God as most or any man could possibly be. You have to ask, see, what Nuwapo does is it raises that kind of question through reasoning that bothers people. Because it says, why is the Pope driving around in a bulletproof vehicle if him and God is tight? Why is he trying to tell me to be good in order to go to heaven to be with God, and he don't want to go to heaven? Billy Graham passed out giving a lecture, and he's on his fourth collapse, and he is fighting to live. He is trying to live. He's got all kind of tubes in him, and breathing machines, and heart pumping machines, and he wants to live. I would assume that Billy Graham would want to die if Billy Graham believes in heaven. If he believes that when you die, you go to God and you go to heaven, why is he trying so hard to stay here? And the first thing that happens to most of the people in this room, once they become frustrated, is, I don't want to live. If they're religious, they say, I want to go to God. Why is the Pope and Billy Graham and a multiple amount of other religious leaders, including my beloved brother, Minister Louis Farrakhan, standing around with a bunch of bodyguards, standing around, like, why doesn't he want to die if he believes in heaven? I don't believe in heaven. I know some niggas can stand up with a gun right now and pull the trigger. But I got to learn to duck, because I don't believe in that shit. To be so God-fearing that you don't have enough sense to duck when that nigga stand up with that gun. But the men that say that they believe that there's some heavenly abode that we all go to, and that God is there waiting to embrace us, and his son meets us on the way through the light, why are they trying not to get there? This is what Nuwapo is. So it's not about Nuwapo being neutral. Nuwapo is that dormant presence of divine in each individual that makes you question everything you are about to do, be it good or evil. When you're about to do something and it's wrong, and you know it's wrong, something says to you, now you know this is wrong. And if something else says, but it's fun. Everybody that gets ready to bungee jump, everybody. While they're tying this thing on the ankle, and as they get near the edge, they say, you know, I'm telling you now, this is real stupid. And as they look over the edge, they backtrack the rubber all the way back to the ankle. And something said, I'm giving you one more chance to think this out. Now this is stupid. And then they jump. and after they defeated that divine awareness in them, jumping becomes fun. It becomes a recreation. It becomes a ritual. Then they want to try something else, Gary. Once you coat over or blot out that nuwako in you, and this is done through concentrated effort, it's done through words, it's done through gestures, it's done through the media. When I was talking to some people yesterday, and I was saying, I want you to all think about this for a minute. Everybody complains about people talking about them behind their back. You know what I mean. Someone, let me talk about me behind my back. I don't want nobody to talk to me any other place but behind my back. Because behind my back is my face. Behind my face would be the problem. So if someone said, I'm going to talk about you behind your face, then they're back there. But if they're talking about you behind your back, then they're standing in front of you. And they tricked us into fighting Biggie Smalls against Tupac. And had them really thinking they were gangsters. I mean, they really think they're gangsters. They make the faces. They make the videos with the hats and the guns, and they walk in the clubs like the Godfather. And then they shoot each other. And I think this Bible says, as a man thinketh, so shall it be. These people think themselves into their own destruction. But what type of tricks are used to make us susceptible to that type of thinking? It was frightful. How easily is it done? I remember talking to y'all months ago when kids were still wearing baggy clothes, and I said, pretty soon they're going to be fitting clothes.
Yeah.
They're going to tighten the clothes up. Sneakers has got to go. Lugs are in. After love comes in wingtips. Pretty soon the women are wearing tight clothes and wigs and nails and lips and everything because there's money involved. Ain't about nothing else but money. Now how is it that they can have 90% of the people who are on television you see today wearing velvet? Because somebody decides it's time to bring in velvet. And now people are wearing so, if they decide next month it's time to bring in satin, people be wearing satin. That's because you have given up that nuwako in you. You open your eyes and you digest things, and what you digest is able to change the way you feel and think. It actually goes against your better or best judgment. You see what I'm saying? And that way they can say stuff like, you can't make up a word like overspending because it's not in the dictionary. And I said, well, there's no diction in the dictionary either. It's just definitions. And I can have, you have an understanding, an overstatement, I can have an overstanding and an understanding. Is it bothering you because you knew one day I would figure out that this Bible and the Quran, they give us a great understanding. They have a lot of knowledge in it. A lot of wisdom in it. And a great understanding. But the only being or beings that was here before it, that would overstand it, you follow that? Or overview it, or write it, would have to be God. Mortals would be given it to understand it, to stay beneath it. But God was there when it was happening. And that's why it's called mystery. And mystery prefixed my story. That's why they don't want to ever call it a history book. And you can tell them, well, because Abraham was a Chaldean, and Chaldean is a geographical place on the planet, and he's back in time, then this, if I read the story of Abraham, I am reading the history of a man. So this is a history book. I said, no, this is the holy book. I said, well, okay, then it's a holy history book. It's a history book. Now, what does the history have to do with what I'm doing today? Nothing. So why are so many people caught up in this history book? Because it gives you the key to controlling the emotions of people. It gives you a word that I greatly dislike, believe. And why I hate the word believe so much is because when people get to talking about you in front of your back, the first thing they do in most cases is say, you know what I think? I have an opinion here. That's what they say. I think, well, Jesus is supposed to come back and get us. Say, you believe that? That's what I believe. Well, I choose not to believe it. Then he say, well, you're a blasphemer. I choose not to accept the title of blasphemer. You're a cult. I choose not to accept the word cult. You're crazy. I choose not to accept the word crazy. See, the moment I can instill in you a belief, an unconfirmed fact, then I can point at the whole Chinese nation, label them, and call them the devil. And because you want to believe it, you will. You won't investigate, because I think when I said, excuse me, are there black devils? Eyebrows raised up his bum. No, he ain't. No, bruh, Esau, not gonna go there. And I said, yes, I am. Because that's nuwapo. That's reality. When you go there and say, are you going to tell me that all black people are good and all white people, Chinese people are bad? You going to tell me that you have never met a black devil? You? Can anybody there tell me that you've never met a black devil, someone who's black, Bongo Bimba, and say that he doesn't have the devil in him or her? Come on with it. Okay. So you know what that would make us? And we persist in that doctrine? What? Hypocrites. But religion teaches people to be hypocrites. Because it teaches you to love your neighbor if they belong to your same faith. Now, that doesn't add the last chapter. It basically says, love thy neighbor as thy love thyself. That means, being I'm a Christian, anybody who's not like myself, I don't have to love. It's a little tricky, but as we listen, those things trick our minds, and then it feels all right for me to say, well, if I am a Muslim and you are a Christian, it's all right for me to blow up the World Trade Center. Because I believe that you are a bad person. Because you do not believe what I believe. You see where it's going up?
But when I knew, and the rest of your guardians, what you might call angelic beings, angelos, start to approach, you have to be reprogrammed as a being. You have to be prepared for beings that when they talk to you, they talk straight at you. They don't talk in belief. They don't talk in approximate. They don't talk in parables. That's why I look at the Quran, it starts in chapter 2, it says, and Allah has a parable for you. And you go, they use the word method. The likeness is the word they use. And you say to yourself, the almighty, powerful, boundless God of all the universe has to speak in parables. Can he just sit under that? Does he have to do something like doing of that in accordance with the results of the doing of an act? Could result in a very tragic, say, nigga, don't do that. It would be a heck of a lot simpler for me. The Quran would be less pages. More people would read it with me, but you know. I'm going over here to the book of St. John. Let me see what it says here. Nice little book. It says here, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things was made by him, and without him there was not anything made that was made. In him was the light, and the light was the light of man. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. Why is it necessary to do all of that? Let me see what he was trying to say. There was a beginning. And there was a word spoken in that beginning. And that was God. And the word that was spoken was light. And the light made light. That's why it is man. Simple. Why does God study Shakespeare? Why does he have to emulate Shakespeare? Why is it that God does not want every individual to pick up this book and get a clear understanding of it? Why must we have people to come along and give us tafsir of the Quran, interpretations of things? Why isn't the Quran so clear that everybody that picks it up would understand it? The Quran tells you it has no intentions of being clear. It starts off, Alif, Lam, Mim. Three letters. Then it goes, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Sounds nice. Hope you're going, what is he saying? Let me tell you that most Arabic speaking Muslims are also saying, what is it saying? And they say it in Salat, and they're still saying, because I did it for 50 years, not 50, 40, before they put the light on. That what is it saying? So you go back and say, brother, what does Alif Lam Mim mean? So the three letters, A, L, and M, they're the initial letters of the Surah Al-Baqarah of the Quran. What do they mean? They'll say, nobody knows. Yeah. Any ex-Muslims in it? Don't be ashamed to hide now. You know you are. All I had to do is yell out Salaam Alaikum when I came in. Y'all said, where you going? When it came out, everyone knew it. Know it. They don't know what it means. Yet, the Muslim world will hold up the Quran and say, this is undisputed guidance. Dhalika al-kitabu la rayba fi. That is this. Al-kitabu, book, la, no, rayba, doubt, fi, in it. They literally open it with there's no doubt in it. And then when you ask them, what does those three letters mean, they say, I don't know. And somewhere along the line, they have not made the equation with I don't know and I wish I did know with doubt.
What does that mean? It means that the initial writer knew that anybody who started after that and called it unquestionable or undoubted was a believer. Thus they call themselves mu'minun, or mu'minat, and mu'min. We are believers. The word mu'min doesn't even mean believe. Come amana meaning faith. And faith is damn near as bad as belief. But you still ask me to subscribe to something that's not been confirmed. See that? But as we approach the time, or what they refer to as the information age, we are being informed by our beings or ancestors, or as I often would say, descendants, because they're descendants, they are triggering you now. They are opening you up where you have the ability to be prepared for their presence. Because in the state of mind that most Christians and Muslims are in, if Jesus came out the sky, they wouldn't know what the heck to do. They're waiting here, and the reverend is saying, I'm telling y'all that Jesus is coming back soon now. But if Jesus walked into their church, and of the Ethiopian Baptist church, and Jesus had blonde hair and blue eyes, which is the kind of games that God likes to play, or walked in a white church and had a big old afro, which is the kind of games God likes to play, whether you like it or not. He's like, we got a way with games. We can go into God's games if you want to. What would happen? And he walked into the church of the Black Madonna right now, in Atlanta, and he had blonde hair and blue eyes and said, I am Jesus. They would throw him out of church. And he walked into a KKK church.
Yeah, he knows you.
And had a big old hoop hoopy new afro, big old Michael Jackson afro about this, and said, I am Jesus. They would throw him out to church. Well, they would have, no, I think it's a little biased to say that they would crucify him in the KKK church, but they wouldn't crucify him in the Black Muslim church, because the Black Muslim church is equivalent to the KKK church. The same ignorance prevails. Whether you want to accept Farrakhan as a grand wizard or not is your business, but anybody with any intelligence sees that he is just as dangerous as the grand wizard. And a philosophy that teaches people to hate each other. When nature does not segregate in what I call God's game, the people right now in Canada that are buried under ice and living in shelters by the thousands are not really concerned with their religious doctrine or dogma right now. Most of them are concerned about heat and a sandwich. Some warm clothes and a place to sleep and a sandwich to eat. Your problem? And they would share that sandwich with a white person or a black person, anybody would share, because nature,
Reverend,
nature is bringing the reality to us, but nature doesn't segregate. Humankind is way past their limits on the planet. You are supposed to have been gone ever since you started taking needles or vaccines to survive. When you have to immune your body against nature, when a child gets all these vaccines, nature is basically saying, I want y'all out of here. I want y'all off our planet, out my house, because y'all are menaced to each other, every animal, every tree. I want y'all out. So now when the baby's born, the doctors tell them, you must get at least in the 16 shots that we talked about before. Before you're 16 years old, or you have any of a number of diseases that would kill you, who is providing these diseases? God. There'd be no diseases if God didn't want diseases. Are you hearing me? And he said, there'd be no AIDS if God didn't want it. There were some men, they went into a laboratory and they experimented and they came up with this germ. Yeah, but God gave men the intellect to go into the laboratory, and God made those type of germs that could come together and be that deadly and designated the time for it. You know how I know that? I know that because you believe in this Bible. And this Bible says, according to your belief, that the people in Sodom and Gomorrah were homosexuals. And they didn't die of AIDS. So what happened? God got a new idea? Blowing up homosexuals and destroying cities ain't good enough? So he came up with a bacteria? Why aren't you looking at it that way when they say AIDS sexual disease? Is God created? This is their reverence. This is Jerry Falwell, the moral majority, and Billy Graham, and Reverend Price, and Reverend Swagger, and Reverend, well, he wouldn't say that. He got no sugar in his own shoes. most of them are saying that God brought AIDS into existence to eliminate homosexuals, and they go back to Genesis and say, God sent angels down from heaven to eliminate homosexuals. Thousands of years ago, he had to use a method of blowing up the city. Now God uses germ warfare. Doesn't that sound like God belongs to the United States Marine Corps? Because thousands of years ago, or hundreds of years ago, in the First and Second World War, they were blowing up people. Now people came back from Desert Storm, and they're complaining because of germ warfare. So are you trying to, please listen to us here. So you're telling me God used bombs like in Hiroshima and Nagasaki a long time ago, and now God uses AIDS, germ warfare, like they did in Gulf Breeze. Don't you see that some man wrote this, and he has God stepping down through history with him? And he has modernized God's judgment up to the level of his. And you can't even say God beyond his level, because it ain't God writing it. And if it was, you'd be able to go into this book and find something in here, or the Quran, the Bible, or the Quran, that is non-earthly. It would be a cue to you that this is from somewhere else. But you can't tell me anything in these books that are not related to earth. And when they tell you and me about, this is not really funny, but hell, Betty Shabazz already had hell. Now, if she was a wicked woman, what would she be getting, being she got burnt to death already on this side of things? You hear me? What would be her judgment? Would God have to come up with a new system, a new kind of fire? But in here, fire is described as sulfur, fire and brimstone. Go into the Greek and research. It uses the elements of the planet. And all of us are familiar with fire in its many forms.
Right.
And oxygen is needed to keep it burning.
Right. Right.
God speaks about rivers in heaven. Hydrogen and oxygen is in heaven. The tree in the garden, it had to grow before Adam made it. Now, did God come down with an angel and plant a full-grown tree in the garden for the sole purpose of tempting Adam and Eve? Or did they plant seeds in the garden and wait for it to grow? Listen to me. You right now. God came down to earth where there was a garden and no tree. Plant a tree. Nurture the tree of good and
evil.
Let it grow. And then send some innocent children he created who he knows don't have nothing inside their head. And let them walk up into the tree. And a snake who he obviously created, because he created. He had the same waiting room like this. Who was the most subtle of all the beasts of the field? First of all, snakes are not beasts of the field, but anyway, let's just keep on. The snake is around the tree waiting. Here comes dumb Eve. No offense to women. She was dumb in so far she didn't know anything. There wasn't nothing to know. Ain't nothing was here. So Eve is walking down the road. Mind her business, and here a beast who this book describes, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Oh, wait, I went only to Genesis 24. Boy, am I running. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, not created. And there's a difference in here. So this being was cunning. That's what subtle means. Manipulative, conniving, shrewd. Right? And then I send a little innocent girl. Because I'm assuming being Adam and Eve was just born. unless we cue in on the age. If I'm saying being Adam and Eve was just born, they will come into the garden with a big diaper on. And God had the map waiting next to the tree for them. The map, the con artist, was waiting next to the tree. And then comes Eve, and he goes, obviously, because he calls him the whisperer. He goes, psst. And he goes,
yes.
Come here, let me tell you something. Let me see what he tells her. Here's what he said. Unto the woman. Yea. As God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. That's what he said. Did God tell you not to eat of every tree? This is a tree God grew, y'all. Waited for it to grow. Then created the poor innocent woman. Directed her intelligence towards the tree. While at the tree, the devil was waiting for her. Who was conniving, manipulative, and subtle. Okay, but this is what y'all want to believe. Show me. Let's see what happens. And the woman said unto the serpent, well, can I go back for a little bit? Snakes do not talk. Hello, ma'am. I have yet to meet a snake. I heard a parrot. I heard a parrot, he say something. He can do it. God made it possible. God said parrots can learn to talk. Well, hell, they ain't a snake anywhere that has a voice box and can talk, all right? We got that first?
Yeah.
So serpent is somebody's name, like an old friend of mine from the Jitterbug days. We used to call him Snake. We said, what's up, Snake? Now, in the event that he got in the Bible, he could talk. He could talk. He didn't talk very well, but he could brother could talk. That's how he talked. So I don't think people even understood him. And the woman said unto the servant, now she's talking back to a snake. Now, come on. You walk in the garden, see a snake around the tree, and the snake says, come here. And you don't know yet. You're talking about sending your children somewhere being unprepared. I just jump from the Old Testament to the New Testament and come up with the same kind of unprepared child of God. Because Jesus was like, oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass by me. I will now. I know what kind of you're doing, but it's not. You know what he was talking about? He was talking about the crucifixion. Jesus did not want to die. Which means the whole story of Jesus being born and knowing he was going to die was a lie. Because if Jesus was born the Son of God and knew he was born to die, he would not have said, oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He would not have ran when they were trying to catch him. You follow? If he knew this from birth, why was he afraid? What did he mean by, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? If God's plan was for his son to come down here and die for our sins, his son would have been a willing sacrifice, something they stole out of the Abraham story in Isaac. But his son Jesus, if you read the Bible, did not want to die. Like the Pope. Now, why Jesus didn't want to go back to his father? They said that he fell in the garden and he sweated blood. Homeboy was really going, I want to see one of y'all people here bend down and pray and sweat some blood. You know how hard homeboy had to be praying to change sweating to blood? But this is fake saving time. This is reality time. And this may not sound or sit right with your fancy, but until you can prove it otherwise, then you're going to have to deal with it. Until it shakes that spell of ignorance that is making us hate each other all over the world. And we the people, we're supposed to do something about the people that rule us that don't have all their marbles. Whether they rule us from the pulpit or Congress, wherever, we got to check them out. And we've got to get to the point where I please don't get angry at me where you're doing what I'm doing to people and you tell people ahead of time. Don't get angry with me because I'm not a believer. Don't get angry because I'm not spooked out. Give me some soft, concrete answers. And when I finish talking for a little while, I will ask that brother right there to step up and sit over there so I can take that seat. And I'll let any one of y'all who want to come up here, who say you Jesus or say you Muhammad, and you want to get up there and talk to us so we can ask you some questions, you can have this here. But don't get mad, because every time I ask questions, people get mad at me. Because I go directly at you. I don't hold no punches because I'm dealing with the one thing that anybody or nobody can tamper with. And that's my soul. That's all I got left. They ain't took it.
نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الوالي الكريم وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين أما بعد Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it? and that he is alone and has no partner, and that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universe. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend, and send salutations of Allah on all of his prophets and his apostles, and on the Messiah, the anointed one, and on the Mahdi, the guide, and on the Mujaddid, the reformer, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.